Greetings in the name of the one who hears our prayers. Amen.
So much has been written about prayer, and some of you have added richly to the conversation. I am no expert, though I practice it. And here are some of the things I've read from others reflecting on prayer. Perhaps there are bits of wisdom we can learn from each of them. The philosopher Simone Weil defined prayer as absolute, unmixed attention. The mystic Meister Eckhart is often quoted as having written, "If the only prayer you ever said was thank you, that would be enough." A mentor from seminary wrote a book called You Are Already Praying, about how your work in the world can be an act of prayer. The philosopher Soren Kierkegaard wrote, "The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays." Kierkegaard's words match what neuroscience research over the past few decades has shown about how our brains positively respond to prayer and meditation. Prayer and wellness often accompany one another. Several years ago, the novelist and nonfiction writer Anne Lamott wrote a book on prayer. It was titled simply, "Help, Thanks, Wow." An excerpt from the book reads, "You may in fact be wondering what I even mean when I use the word prayer. It's certainly not what TV Christians mean. It's not for display purposes like plastic sushi or neon. Prayer is private, even when we pray with others. It is communion from the heart to that which surpasses understanding. Let's say it's communication from one's heart to God. Or if that is too triggering or ludicrous a concept for you, to the good, the force that is beyond our comprehension, but that in our pain or supplication or relief, we don't need to define or have proof of or any established contact with. Let's say it is what the Greeks called the really real, what lies within us, beyond the scrim of our values, positions, convictions, or wounds. Or let's say it is a cry from deep within to life or love, with capital L's." She continues, "Nothing could matter less than what we call this force. I know some ironic believers who call God Howard, as in our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. I called God Phil for a long time after a Mexican bracelet maker promised to write Phil 4:4-7 on my bracelet. Philippians 4:4-7 being my favorite passage of scripture, but got only so far as Phil before having to dismantle his booth. Phil is a great name for God," she writes. The Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh wrote that the highest form of prayer is compassionate practice in meditation and action. The Anglican monk, Brother Sean Glenn, wrote in a devotional nearly the opposite emphasis of Kierkegaard's words. "Prayer does not begin with us. Whatever we pray, in whatever capacity, is ultimately a response to God. To know this is to rest in the faith that whether we feel anything or not, God has already initiated something within us whenever we pray." In a recent opinion piece in the New York Times, Anne Lamott again wrote her response to a recent public display of prayer at a football game. She emphasizes the private act of prayer that informs a life of advocacy and action. Mostly, the article is a rich testimony of prayer in her life, and I quote it at length because perhaps they're relatable to prayer in some of our lives as well. She writes this: "When I pray for all the places where we see Christ crucified, Ukraine, India, the refugee camps, I see in my heart and in the newspaper that goodness draws near. Through UNICEF, Doctors Without Borders, volunteers, through Motley Old Us. I wake up praying. I say a prayer some sober people told me to pray 36 years ago. Because when all else fails, follow instructions. It helps me not to fixate on who I am, but on whose. I am God's adorable, aging, self-centered, spaced-out beloved. One man in early sobriety told me that he had come into recovery as a hotshot, but that other sober men helped him work his way up to servant. I pray to be a good servant because I've learned that this is the path of happiness. I pray for my family and all my sick friends that they have days of grace and healing, and I end my prayers, Make me ever mindful of the needs of the poor. I lift up one of my grown Sunday school kids who is in the ICU with anorexia. I beseech God to intervene, and she does through finding my girl a great nurse later that day. Nurses are God's answer 35% of the time. My prayer says to whoever might be listening, I care about her and I have no idea what to do, but to hold her in my heart and turn her over to something that might do better than me. And I hear what to do next. Make her one of my world-famous care packages. Overpriced socks, a journal, and needless to say, communion elements tailored to her. Almonds and sugar-free gum. It's love inside wrapping paper. She continues, do I honestly think these kinds of prayers were heard and helpful? Definitely. On good days, I feel slightly more neutral towards Jeannie Thomas and the high school coach praying after games. I pray the great prayer of thanks all day for my glorious, messy family, husband, and life, for my faith, my sobriety, for nature, for all that is still here and still works after so much has been taken from us. When I am at my most rattled or in victimized self-righteousness, I go for walks, another way to put my feet to prayer. I pray for help and some dimension outside of my mind or language. I relax. I can breathe again. I say thank you. I say thank you for the same flowers and trees and ferns and cactuses I pass every day. I say thank you, thank you, thank you. A walk is a great prayer. To make eye contact and smile is a kind of prayer, and it changes you. Fields and woods are the kingdom. You don't say, oh, there's a dark-eyed junco flitting around, that same old pine tree, whatever. Or, look at those purple wildflowers. I've seen those a dozen times. You are silent. There may be no one around you, and the forest will speak to you in a way it will speak to an animal. And that changes you. At bedtime, I pray again for my sick friends and the refugees. I beg for sleep. I give thanks for the blessings of the day. I rest into the vision of the pearly moon outside my window that looks like a porthole to a bigger reality. I sigh and close my tired eyes. I have the theological understanding of a bright 8-year-old, but Jesus says we need to approach life like children, not like cranky know-it-alls, crazily busy, clutching our to-do lists. One of my daily prayers is, slow me down, girlfriend. The prayer changes me. It breaks the toxic trance. God says to Moses the first time they meet, take off your shoes. Be on the earth. Breathe with me a moment. End quote. I do not know much about prayer, though I pray. I am reminded by the gospel today that Jesus once said to pray always and not to lose heart. And the story he told was of a widow with society against her who would not give up her prayer to injustice or apathy or indifference or outcome. Pray always, and do not lose heart. Amen. You're welcome to rise for our hymn of the day.